It's funny because when we look at a concept of Harmony Week, if every week's not Harmony Week, we've got a problem in a sense, because Australians come from so many different backgrounds, have come at different times, different experiences, and have had different experiences while they're here. And if you're going to have the attitude that your part of the Australian story overrides somebody else's, or you're not interested in what they have to say, or you're going to exclude them from some collaborative project based on your preconceptions about who they are, I'm not saying misconceptions, you might be right, but you don't know that until you make the effort. So for me, I find Harmony Week a bit of a disappointing concept, because every day needs to be that.
Yes, exactly right. Hey, you've been busy though, haven't you? Because you've been travelling around in the northeast. You're in central Victoria next. And what have you been doing while on your travels?
Well, the most important thing is to try and reconnect with people after this horrific year of social isolation, because particularly a lot of the work I'm involved in is between different faith communities. And at a time when your church, your synagogue, your mosque, your temple has not even been able to meet physically itself, the engagement with others becomes something which is often shelved, or you can even go backwards in that area. So at the moment it's saying, look, we've been through a very tough time. We hope we don't do that again, but we know now that it is just so easy for us to abandon things we took for granted because in the interest of public health. How do we appreciate what we had that we need to get back to? I mean, there might have been things we never need to do again, but certainly the idea of saying, yes, we're going back in our religious space. It's important to us. We're not giving up any of that by engaging with others. But let's remember, we were building, we were developing, we were taking advantage of the unique circumstances we have in Australia to find out about our neighbour, to find out how we can help and how we can build a better country down the road. So it's really been a matter of me saying, you know, I'm Jewish, I come from a religion which is well under 1% of the Australian population, but our faith is one which is into engagement with other faiths, and your whatever faith you might be, let's take the opportunity now to meet again and be rebuilding in a way which is about the interests of everybody, not just the interests of the section we directly affiliate to.
It's interesting hearing you say that, because, you know, I mean, even before you started speaking about, you know, getting back to the church, I was hearing some parallels between, you know, sport and religion. And we know that during the course of the last couple of weeks, we've heard from lots of different sporting organisations who are now having trouble with things like umpires and, you know, because if people have found other ways to entertain themselves or get fit and that kind of thing. Is that a similar
situation? Yeah, look, there's a lot of variety. I mean, for me, you know, I'm from Sydney. If people before they know my height, my name, their religion, they're likely to know I'm a Rabbitohs tragic. Those south of the border, South Sydney, you know, my mood can often depend on how the Rabbitohs are going in any given week. And during the off season, you know, obviously cricket, you know, I'm an Australian, and yeah, religion and sport, you know, you don't know which is which sometimes. But I think there are two different sorts of things. There's those things which are activities, those things which we choose to do now and then, but our religion is often part of our identity. It's who we are in quite a different way. And also the community of sport, yes, it's incredibly important. I wouldn't underrate it for a moment. But the community of religion, I think, seems to be a little bit different, only because we're all born, we all die, we all have questions affecting us about the nature, some of these big picture issues. Most human beings I've encountered, know it or not, have some form of spiritual understanding or belief or feeling. And without underwriting or underestimating any other aspect of Australian life, I think, you know, religion has something a little bit different.
On ABC Goulburn Murray and Gippsland this morning, you are hearing from Jeremy Jones, who is Director of International and Community Affairs for the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council. If I could, I'd like to just play you a little bit here. And this is sort of, I guess, going back to this idea of Harmony Day and living in a harmonious society. Earlier this week, we heard from Ethnic Council of Shepparton and District, Betul Tuna. Now, she's part of a new roundtable of members from cultural communities and peak bodies who are really looking at what they call cultural inclusion. But she had some pretty stark things to say about racism.
Systematic racism is not a theory or a hypothetical. It's not an alleged situation. It's very real. It's existed for over 200 years. It presents itself in outcomes in education, employment, housing, overrepresentation in the justice system, homelessness, mental health, I mean, general health, the mortality rate for First Nations versus mainstream communities. If you, you know, all of the above is how systematic racism presents itself.
So I guess, you know, good news that there's this roundtable, first of its kind, I think, in regional Victoria, which will be terrific, but some pretty damaging, you know, thoughts on society.
Yeah. Well, look, racism is real, and it's been real for many people in many societies. It's not unique in our communities, although there are unique features to it. One of the issues I have, though, sometimes when people talk about systematic racism, it can often be used as an excuse for bad behaviour. People say, oh, it's a system, it's not me. No, it is you. You see racist behaviour, you should call it out. You should be conscious yourself, wherever you come from, that if you are a religious person and believe that every human being has innate dignity, or if you're a non-religious person who believes it's best for society that human beings are all respected and treated also with dignity, wherever you're coming from, you have to think about what you are doing, how you are acting, what free will you have to behave in a certain way. If a system is bad, that's a reason to work at changing the system, not to say the system is the only cause. So I'm certainly not contradicting what your speaker said, but I think there are other ways of approaching the same problem or building on it. But one of the issues that we all confronted during COVID was the spread of some crazy conspiracy theories and malicious theories. And if somebody said something about any issue, you would find yourself often talking to people who were only hearing from those with whom they already agreed, in little echo chambers, reinforcing conspiracies and prejudice. And now, we have the opportunity to re-engage, but there are all people who you're re-engaging from strange points. We've had different experiences and different sources, and certainly racism was something which we've seen in different ways, whether it's the racism towards a particular group, to say this group brought us COVID. Someone in Albury was just telling me they were at an airport and people had bags which showed they'd arrived from Italy. So everybody else ran away from them of COVID in Italy. With the anti-Chinese racism in different parts of Australia as well as other parts of the world. You know, Chinese Australians, my family's been in Australia since the 1850s. I know there have been people longer, but that's towards the more established families from European background in Australia. And Chinese have been here as long as longer. And people are saying, here's some person in the street and we're going to be concerned about them because of COVID. My son, who lives in China, has the opposite experience because he's not Chinese physically. The Chinese were moving away from him saying, you know, it's Europe, it's the West, it's all got COVID now and we're finished with it. So we have to be worried. So racism is there. We've also had activity, though, of racist groups who've used the opportunity to recruit during this time, and certainly, unfortunately, this part of Australia is anything but immune from this situation. And
why is that, especially during this time?
Well, first of all, I mean, if we look at the psychology of racists to begin with, or the more successful, unfortunately, racist organisations, what they often do is they find people who life has been cruel to for whatever reason. They're not your high-flying, successful people generally in life. Or people have had difficulties in their own family, disengaged, which unfortunately is very common. The question is where people go. And they're offering an alternative family. They're offering an alternative vision. They're saying, you be part of this and you're suddenly superior to somebody else just based on your race. You join this movement and you're part of a global movement which is going to change the way everybody is. You suddenly become much more important. And with the internet, it's made it more extreme. I used to joke that if there was somebody who lived in a country town and was in the Ku Klux Klan, they were the village idiot. Now they're part of the global international Ku Klux Klan, and they can send hate messages to somebody walking their dog in Berkeley, California, while sitting somewhere else. So they've got more ability to abuse, to oppress, to bully, whatever, because of the internet. So you have that. Then you have the time of uncertainty. People went through, or many of us, many of our friends, sure, family, went through very difficult times emotionally, with economic hardship, just dissociation from things with which we were used. And somebody's coming and said, this is the reason. The reason's not you. It's not the it's not an illness. There are people who want to do something bad to you. Mm-hmm. And that's a message that has been sold, unfortunately. I don't think it's had that many customers, but it doesn't need that many people to adopt it to cause harm to others.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the terrible man who murdered everybody in the mosques in New Zealand just over 2 years ago now. It didn't take five of him. It just took one.
Yeah.
You look at the terrible bombings in many parts of the world. It hasn't taken very many people. So, the people, they don't present a political threat. I mean, we look at the joke of some of the people who run for the Senate or Parliament. You know, they get the votes of their family members, those who have pity on them, and maybe their dog if the dog doesn't have any common sense. You know, they're not presenting an electoral threat to the country. They're not widely held views, but they are causing people to make bad decisions sometimes about their own lives when it might come to public health. They're causing people to blame others who don't even know they're part of a conspiracy for being for some sort of international conspiracy against them. And they're taking away from the sort of future they could have and the future that Australia could have. So that these are, you know, you see these far right wing characters who they forget that Australia fought Nazism during the Second World War, so they think they're being nationalists by flying a swastika. I mean, you get that level of stupidity and insanity. But there, you know, a handful of people attracted that could cause real harm. And during a time of stress and pandemic, and with electronic communication, it's more dangerous than it has been for a considerable period of time.
On ABC, you are hearing from Jeremy Jones, and we are talking about, well, Harmony Week in a sort of roundabout way, I guess you would say. But, you know, it's interesting you say that because only late last year, an 18-year-old was arrested in Albury, found to be carrying extreme right-wing ideology focused on neo-Nazi white supremacists and anti-Semitic material. Now, that's a young person, and only this week I was hearing that really, you know, the concern is of sort of 14 to even 16-year-old young men. I mean, what do we do about that?
Yeah, it's a real problem because we have this with Islam, people inspired by the versions of Islam sold to the world by Islamic State or Hezbollah or the Iranian government. You know, there are lots of sources of really nasty stuff about others which come from these places. And they're more likely to attract people who are at a particular stage of their maturity and emotional development and intellectual development. And it's been a challenge for some time for the whole of the community, but particularly within families. I mean, it's so sad so often when you meet people from a devout religious family who are the most wonderful people, and one of their children has been attracted away from the way they would see a positive inspiration of their religion into something which is distorted and terrible. And I'm sure you would find people who are mainstream Australians with not particular concerns ideologically or whatever, and one of their children becomes interested in, you could say, history, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
I love history. I studied history at school, university. It's a passion. But so suddenly people are reading about history in a particular way, and or they're finding new, interesting people to engage to. And imagine if you have a child who has not been doing that well socially in their environment, and suddenly they're more happy because every night they're online with their little community. Who, and I'm not saying it necessarily is due to any sexual development, although sometimes, you know, the lure of, you know, I can be a big player in this field comes to mind. And it's mainly men, but not only men. There are young women also attracted, sure, because of the emotional maturity level. And, yeah, this is horrible because what it does to their life. Fortunately, though, there have been quite a number of cases that I know of in New South Wales where parents or school teachers have noticed early enough or doctors have noticed early enough, and they've been able to do something to try and address this particular person's needs. But it's almost an individual by individual basis. Again, this is a problem. You look at the internet, and once upon a time, you knew what people were listening to or hearing. You knew what books they were borrowing from the library or what they were watching on television or whatever. Now it can be a one-on-one channel and you really would have no way of knowing unless you were that person or, yes, you were intimate who was given enough information about that particular person's activity. And it is a real worry, I think, for all of us because we live in very confusing times.
Mm.
We live in difficult times. Things are happening and changing very quickly, even in terms of technology. I mean, by the time I came on Facebook, the people who were Facebook users moved on to the next platform.
Yes.
By the time you get to that platform, they've moved on to another platform.
Sure.
And, you think you understand something and, you try to understand it. You don't even know the technology people are using sometimes for these conversations. And sometimes it's really great. I mean, I tell a story which I think is very pertinent to our discussion today. One of the worst, if not the worst crimes we associate with racism, the opposite to Harmony Day, is Nazism. And one of the things that Nazism resulted in was mass murder of many, many human beings, children, adults, mainly Jews, but certainly not only Jews. But what it means is there were many Jewish families and who had no idea if they had any relatives anywhere in the world. The assumption was gone or too hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
The internet comes along and suddenly people are able to connect and people are discovering, oh, I have another person from the village. Perhaps they know what happened to my family. Or here's someone with the same surname, a second cousin, whatever. And groups of people were coming together and it was really exciting and really positive. But a neo-Nazi joined one of these groups, didn't say anything, but just gathered names and email addresses. And when he thought it was correct, timing for his evil mind, sent messages saying there was never a Nazi Holocaust, you're making up to extort money from the government, the guilt, mainly to elderly people, coming to their computers with which they had developed this personal mm-hmm. relationship, and using something which had been so positive to inflict so much harm. And with knowledge generally, we have the ability to, I've had the ability to attend funerals in other countries of people who've died during the COVID times because of the Zoom technology.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also known people who've been attending meetings of people with specific needs to be together, which have been Zoom bombed, or somebody has come in and just used that the platform for good to do something bad. And that's a reality of life today.
Well, the good thing about speaking with you is that we're face to face, we're in person. This has been a long time coming, hasn't it?
Oh, and it's wonderful.
And you're traveling around.
And I'm told I have a perfect face for radio, so there you go.
But you will continue traveling and you will continue speaking. And one of the nicest things I think that you have said that we can take with us for the rest of our travels is about Harmony Week or Harmony Day. Let's just make everything harmonious. Yeah. And so we don't have the need to try and focus on that.
Although one caution, we do have Mother's Day and it's wonderful to donate the day, although we can love it and respect mothers in our lives the whole year. So I'm not saying don't have Harmony Day, but let's just live out the principles every day.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming in and having a chat.
Thank you.